Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, what's going on, Giants fans? Welcome to the latest episode of our Talk is Cheap podcast. Daryl Slater here, NJ Advanced Media, the Star Ledger, NJ.com, as usual, of course. It is Tuesday morning right now. Hope everyone's doing well. The Giants, of course, just won 14-7 Sunday over the Washington Commanders. They are 2-5. They snapped a four-game losing streak. Their offense actually scored a touchdown, novel concept. Their defense played really well. And now they play the 3-3 Jets, who are coming off a bye week and also coming off a stunning win over the Eagles, where they humbled Jalen Hurts, embarrassed, some might say. I don't know. One might say that. This week, actually, we're going to do a little different. Bob Brookover is going to take the day off here today, at least from doing the podcast. We have Andy Vasquez with us, our Jets writer. He's covered the Jets for a few years previously. Was doing it for the Bergen Record and is now with us here. This is his second year, right? Is that right? Second year?
Second season, eighth on the beat.
There you go. So this is Jets Giant Week. We're shaking it up. Andy's with us. What's going on, man?
What's up, Daryl? How you doing, man? Good to continue. We got two hot teams now. Big matchup. I think it's actually going to be the Jets have played a lot of interesting games. The Giants, maybe not so much, but I think this is going to be a really fun and interesting game.
So,
what say you?
What's that?
What say you? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a good game and close. I don't know. You know, depends on how you classify interesting. Could be another rock fight. That's probably the Giants' best chance of winning. Is a low scoring game, as usual. I think that's going to be their MO. We'll just open it. So, like, catch us up on everyone knows who are Giants fans who are listening to this. What happened with Rodgers, of course, and Rodgers in week one. They know that part of it, but give us the broad view of this Jets season so far and where they're at right now, including on the injury front and their secondary. What's going on with the Jets so far and right now?
Yeah, basically, you got through week three, and it looked like this season was going to be a disaster because they lost Rodgers. They got absolutely, you know, they hung in there in Dallas for a half, but got completely outclassed in the second half. And, you know, there was already, you're starting back up with the arguments, is Zach Wilson better than last year? It's like, you know, you're back in this, horrible vortex where you can't escape Zach Wilson, and then he comes out and plays the Patriots and completely lays an egg. And like he has done every time in his Patriots career or in his career against the Patriots for the Jets. And now, you know, you've got home fans booing him. It's people are talking about how you can't let the season go down the tubes with Zach Wilson. And they play a Sunday night game against the Chiefs where everybody expects them to get housed. And Zach Wilson plays the best game of his career. Backs it up with an okay game against the Broncos and then another okay game against the Eagles. I mean, he has looked better. He has not been making crippling mistakes. And now the Jets arrive here after their shocking upset of the Eagles and at 3-3 after losing Rodgers, where you would have thought 3-3 was pretty good for them. They had a gauntlet of a schedule to start the season. They started with the Bills. They also played both teams that were in the Super Bowl last year with the Chiefs and the Eagles. So you would have thought maybe 2-4 with Rodgers wouldn't have been so bad. Now they're 3-3. And the big question is, how far can Zach Wilson lead them? And we've been hearing all offseason how Zach Wilson looked like a different player. We didn't really see it until that Chiefs game. And I will say he does look, I wouldn't say he's a good quarterback, but he's not zeroing in on one guy. He's not making these critical mistakes. He's still making the mistakes, but it's not, you know, compounding them. And I think, you know, they've, for the first time in his career with Saleh here, they've kind of let off the, you know, the blinders and let him kind of go after it and play with a real game plan. And they're not playing to not lose the game with him. And I think, you know, we haven't seen the downside of that yet. And that's what's really interesting about this week is that he's been able to maneuver through some pretty tough defenses without making a lot of mistakes. And obviously with what the Giants do and what Wink Martindale does, the Jets have a lot of respect for that. And are they going to stick with what they're doing? Or are they going to, you know, take a step back and have a really conservative game plan that I think is why they lost to the Patriots and why they've lost a lot of games with Zach Wilson, because they're not even giving themselves a chance to win. And I think that's a real risk for the Jets this week. And I'm interested to see how they navigate it, if they're in their own heads or not, but that's where they're at. I mean, it's all there for them. There's still, I'm not going to get into the whole is Rodgers coming back or not thing, because it's not even worth talking about right now, but it is there for them. They're in the middle of the playoff race. Their schedule now after the Giants, you know, they face, they had a Monday night football game against the Chargers and then a game against the Raiders before a couple tough division games and then a bunch more winnable games at the end of the season. So it's all there for them. They can be a team that has a chance to be a force, but there's a lot of questions in terms of how much have they learned from last year when they lost six straight games after getting in playoff contention to obviously bomb out of the playoff race. So a lot of stuff going on here. And the big question this week to me is, can the Jets handle success? Are they ready to do it in a game where I really do think they're the more talented team and they should win this game, but how can you trust them given everything that we've seen over the last few years since Robert Saleh's been here and given what we've seen in the aftermath of these games with the Jets at 3-3. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game on an emotional and, you know, a tactical level, and we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, those are the big questions surrounding the Jets right now. And the biggest one is what Zach Wilson are we going to get on Sunday against the Giants? I guess same as it ever was for the last 3 years for the Jets.
Yeah. I think brought up a couple interesting points there. And one of them being, of course, that their defense is so nasty. And we saw it in week one. I mean, I wrote that coming out of that game when they stunned the Bills, and the storyline kind of coming out of that was like, oh, wow. I mean, maybe DJ – they're not the 85 Bears defense, but maybe DJ Reed was kind of onto something there, that this defense can be really, really good, and how far can this defense take them if they keep playing like that? And you saw it last week where they won a game against the Eagles that they weren't supposed to win. And now they get, like you said, three straight winnable games. Giants, then they host Daniel Popper, our pal Daniel Popper's perpetually disappointing Chargers, and Popper himself, of course, always perpetually disappointing as a human being in general. We joke, but, you know, probably true. And then the Raiders, they go to Vegas, you know, and they've scuffled a little bit. So could this Jet team be 6-3 going into at Bills versus Dolphins to end November? Maybe. And that's when things get really fascinating. You know, we'll see, like you said with Rodgers, but the way things break for them, I think, is pretty good here coming up, because again, they're coming off a game that they weren't supposed to win, and they did, and they stunned the Eagles. And of course, the Eagles, I think, probably the best team in the NFL right now. So as we look at the, you know, sort of these two teams and how they're composed and how they kind of look. Oh, and one more thing on that, you know, you talk about not handling success. I mean, I'm just like amazed. I follow, of course, get alerts from both a bunch of people, reporters, and but also from the teams, right? And so the Jets social media team is amazing to me. Like a few years ago, you probably remember this. There was a post leading into when Todd Bowles was a coach, post leading into the it was before the game against the Browns. And so I get it. Like, This iteration of the Jets isn't really trash talking necessarily before the game. This was like a little bit out of left field. They did like a thing where they put a one of those protective collars on the Browns mascot, like cartoon mascot, and said, sit down or sit boy or something like that. And Todd Bowles was really mad about it, and they deleted it. It made news. It was a PFT did a post on it and all that. So they're not doing that like before games, but after games, I mean, they were acting like beating the Eagles. It's a huge win, obviously, but it's like the victory laps are just remarkable. And one of the big criticisms of the Jets over the years is they have celebrated like every win, like it's the biggest thing in the world. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether that has any bearing on the X's and O's, but you have a coach in Robert Saleh who is willing to say what's on his mind, to say the least. And I was bummed that he pointed off. I was disappointed that he backtracked off the embarrassed quote. Come on, like own that. You know, I mean, he didn't even really apologize last year when he threatened to choke the greater New York area with CVS receipts or whatever it was. You know, like, come on, man. So, I mean, I guess that's fun to cover, though, right?
Yeah, he's definitely interesting. It's definitely not the Todd Bowles school of, you know, let's not say anything in social media or, you know, I will say there is everybody talks about the culture changing and all that. And it gets like kind of exhausting to hear as a, you know, person who's surrounded by the NFL all the time, but he really has changed the culture. And I think it's in a good way in terms of the confidence and the fact that this team believes that it can beat anybody and that it's going to beat anybody. And that's why you've seen them play so well. I mean, they haven't really played poorly, especially at home against a good team in a long time. And that is progress. And I think there's good things to be said about that. But also they don't seem to have perspective sometimes on where they are. And I think the social media stuff, it's just like the day and age we're in, and just let you got to let that stuff happen. And I don't think it is that big of a deal in terms of like getting back to the team, but like, the things that Saleh says is that he's very emotional and very, you know, cocky and confident about embarrassing the quarterbacks. And the Jets have played really well against, you know, three of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and also not so well against, you know, Dak Prescott. So it's not, he kind of picks and chooses. Or last year when they beat the Bills in Buffalo and he says, we're going to see them again soon, you know, or they lost to the Bills in Buffalo, you know, they just lost two in a row after, you know, putting themselves in a great position to get the playoffs. Of course, they didn't see the Bills again soon because they would have had to make the playoffs to do that. So I just think sometimes that stuff, you know, they lose sight of what's at hand. I don't think the social media stuff is necessarily bad, but I think they get a little too caught up in the moment. And yeah, beating the Eagles like the way they beat them without their top two corners, Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed both had concussions, and you're thinking the Jets could lose this game by 20 and they find a way to come out there. And, you know, it wasn't like everything went their way either. There were some weird calls, you know, stuff went wrong and they found a way, and they deserve credit for that. But then sometimes it just feels like over the top, like that you can feel that they feel like, okay, we've arrived. And every time you feel that with this team, like last year when they beat Buffalo before the bye to get to 6-3, they finished 1-7. So, you just, to me, as a longtime observer of this team, anytime that they act like they've arrived at this early juncture, like, let's see it in December. Let's see you win some winnable games. I will say they have passed every test so far. Like, they did what they needed to do against Denver. That was a winnable game. Here we are again. They did what they needed to do, obviously, against in the first six games of their schedule against the Bills and Eagles, and winning games that nobody expected them to win. And obviously they haven't figured it out against the Patriots. So still here they are, they're in this great position, and what they need to do to continue to show that progress and build the culture that they're talking about is start winning these games that they should win. And by all rights, they should find a way to win against a Giants team that isn't at full strength. And even if it does get, you know, Daniel Jones back, they should have to work out some kinks, and the Jets have a great defense. So, that's why I think they should win this game. But again, I feel like it's hard to trust them given some of the things we've seen here.
Yeah. I mean, this is a team that last year, went into December 7-4, as you mentioned, then went 0-6 in December and early January. And yeah, you're not making the playoffs ever if you do that. And yet it didn't seem like the confidence of guys like DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson was affected too much by that. And that's sort of what this Jet team is. It's a young, confident team, and that's really what the organization needed after just bottoming out under Adam Gase and Greg Williams and the zero blitz and all these things that have just dragged them down for so long. And certainly the Giants had their share of just disasters too, from 2017 to 2021, when these two teams tied for the worst record in the NFL at 22 and 59. And so, in terms of let's just pivot to the game here. I mean, I'll be just kind of just touching on some Giants stuff. We'll see about Daniel Jones, right? The neck. Will he be on a short leash? I think that becomes the question. Tyrod Taylor's played pretty well, but not great. In two games as a starter, the Giants are 1-1 in those games. Bottom line is they scored 19 points and 14 points. They lost one and won the other. Okay, they beat a bad Commanders team thanks largely to their own to the Giants defense. Deontay Banks is really coming around and playing well. The issue, I think, too, is like they got to figure out what they have in this offensive line. Obviously, once Daniel Jones is clear for contact, he's the starter. Okay, so like then it just becomes like, is the leash shorter? I don't necessarily think it will be. But what kind of line is he playing behind? I mean, he's been pressured 46% of the time this year. Taylor had a more reasonable pressure rate of 33% last week against the Commanders. And so if they're able to get Andrew Thomas back, which seems possible this week, that would let them push Justin Pugh down inside to left guard. Maybe they get Jon Michael Schmitz back. He's missed three games. Brian Daboll has said this wasn't an IR injury. Okay, that means it's going to be three games or fewer. Otherwise, you put him on IR and put him out for four games. If they can get him back, that lets Ben Bredesen stop playing out of position at center and move to right guard. And Pugh, of course, playing way out of position at left guard, left tackle. And then we'll see about right tackle Evan Neal, who's dealing with the ankle, or Tyree Phillips, who played really well last year for Neal, or reasonably well last year for Neal, played well again against Washington. So a more intact line, I think, will help. We can get into sort of the matchups here in a bit, but the Jets pass rush in the front ought to scare the living daylights out of Brian Daboll, especially if he's going to play a patchwork line, regardless of who his quarterback is. So that's sort of where the Giants are at. I mean, they've taken some baby steps on offense, and the fact that they did it last week with a backup quarterback and a patchwork line, and I mean, geez, let's just Scotch tape line. I mean, come on. I mean, the line they rolled out there was ridiculous. And so, yeah, I think as they look into this game, that's got to be one of their bigger concerns. And so, like from the Jet perspective here, what this, okay, so like these matchups, let's start with, we know what we talked a little bit about the quarterback situation already, but what do you make of, I would love to see, by the way, Deontay Banks versus Garrett Wilson. Banks has played well lately. He had a huge tackle leading up to that field goal block on Sunday in Washington. I mean, his tackle is what resulted in them having to kick the field goal. Washington, Leonard Williams blocked a field goal. But what do you think of a potential Garrett Wilson, Deontay Banks matchup? Who does that favor? You got one guy in Banks who's a rookie. Wilson, second year pro. He's just nasty, right? I mean, he's clearly the best offensive player on either side of the ball in this game.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, I know the Jets have some other guys who have stood out and been talented, but being in the room, I feel like he's by far the best player on this team in terms of he's instant offense. He'll get open. It doesn't really matter who's covering him. And Zach Wilson has finally figured out that, like, hey, I should probably just force the ball to this guy. And that couldn't be dangerous, but when you consider the alternative, which was that he wasn't finding a way to get him the ball, suddenly the Jets offense is much more dangerous. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, they're having their struggles in the red zone, but they're moving the ball. And a big reason is that they're finding a way to get it to Garrett Wilson. And I would like, I think, Garrett's going to have his opportunities there. He's going to make things happen, especially if, you're going to commit to a rookie covering him and following him. So I mean, I would like that matchup for the Jets, but then after that, it really does drop off. I mean, we saw the Chiefs can use Mecole Hardman, but the Jets couldn't find a use for him. Allen Lazard has been fine as a number two receiver, but they're paying him almost $12 million a year. I don't think that was exactly what they were expecting. And then Randall Cobb has been the guy who's gotten the majority of reps in the slot, and he's been the least productive receiver in the NFL. And, you know,
yeah, he's
Gibson. Yeah, he's been awful. And Gibson, Xavier Gibson is emerging, but he's not reliable. And, you know, he's a guy who can be dangerous, but he's not reliable yet. So I think Garrett Wilson and obviously Breece Hall, you're going to see a lot of that. And the Jets have some questions on the offensive line too, in terms of if Dwayne Brown is ready to return. He is eligible to return from injured reserve. Will they put him back at left tackle or ride with Mekhi Becton at left tackle? I think they should ride with Becton, but it's hard to know what the Jets are thinking there. They also lost Joe Tippmann to an injury, a thigh injury that there was hinted it could be long-term, and then hinted it may not be as long-term. If anybody's paying attention to the Jets and injuries, if whatever Robert Saleh is saying means very little, we'll have to find out when we see the injury report on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to get a sense of that. And he also said Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed are still in the concussion protocol. Let's see if they're in the concussion protocol on Thursday or on Wednesday when the Jets return to practice before, you know, you speculate with that. But I think the expectation would be both of those guys would be back. But yeah, that is really a fascinating matchup in terms of the offense for the Jets. And I think that's their best chance is to get, they have to get Garrett Wilson going.
And I also think too, you know, I don't think you're going to see a game plan like Washington had. So Washington ran the ball 19 times. They ran for 4 yards a carry. And the Giants were able to hold Brian Robinson to, you know, 8 carries, 23 yards. Pretty good. So they ran 19 times. I get that they had to come back. Sam Howell threw the ball 42 times, 42 times. And then he was sacked 6 times. So he dropped back 48 times in that game. 60.5 quarterback rating and interception, sacked 6 times. You know, they can't pass protect yet. Eric Bieniemy wants to continue throwing the ball. I don't think you're going to see that. I mean, like, this is just me, but I think you could see a game where Breece Hall has 30 carries, right? I mean, the Jets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say the Jets get out to a 7-0 lead. They're not going to let Zach Wilson sit back there and throw the ball. I know we talked about getting the ball to Garrett Wilson, but why not just let Breece Hall try to gash up a giant run defense that was terrible last year and that, you know, still needs to prove itself.
I think that's the play for the Jets. And you saw Breece, you know, he's been over 3 carries or over 10 carries 3 times this year. And 2 of them have been in the last 3 games. I'm sorry. Yeah. He had 10 carries in the first game and then over 10 and 3 of his last 4 games. So I think they're going to get him the ball, and you know, that's going to be the key for the Giants is if they can stop him early, the Jets will go away from it and go to the pass game. But if they don't have an answer for him early, they're going to absolutely pound it. And I think they're a little bit handcuffed because they don't trust their other running backs beyond Hall. I mean, you know, Dalvin Cook has not been what they were hoping for, and Michael Carter hasn't really had much of a role. So that's something the Giants can, you know, if they can stuff the run early, the Jets will have to go away from it. But I don't see, you know, Zach Wilson dropping back 40 times. That's not good. The Jets are going to try to control the clock. They're going to try to get the ball in Breece Hall's hands. And, you know, I think that's their best chance of winning. They need to find a way to get the ball to those two guys, because really those two guys are their entire offense, Hall and Wilson. And if the Giants can take that away, it's going to be a lot tougher for the Jets. And I will say Zach Wilson has shown some flashes of spreading the ball around, but that's how you got to make, you know, the Jets win this game, is make him do that, because it's not something that's been a strength of his throughout his career.
Yeah, and the Giants, to that point about the Giants' run defense, 26th in PFF right now, so they're, you know, still not a great run defense, just like last year. They weren't a great run defense last year. And yeah, I think both teams look at this and say, we got to win a rock fight. I think that's how both teams kind of will look at this game.
How have they been with big plays? How have the Giants been? Are they giving up like a slow but steady in the run, or are they getting gash?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think at times they've been gashed. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but but yeah, I think that
because Hall has like a couple runs over, like I think he has an 80-yard run and a couple, and obviously a 70. So that's where he's gotten most of his yardage is the home run threat.
I think the Giants feel better about their second level now with Okereke, Bobby Okereke, Micah McFadden. All the Giants fans have seen how Micah McFadden has really played well in an unexpected level after being looking lost as a rookie. Okereke has been a really nice free agent signing. And so obviously you know what you're getting from Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence against the run in the middle of that defensive line. And so for your second level guys to play better than the rotating cast did last year at inside linebacker has been a big point of progress for the Giants. They're obviously still not there defensively. Like I said, they're not a highly rated defense. Some of that stems from the fact that they were gashed by the Cowboys. They were gashed by the Dolphins and by the Niners, but this Giant defense played pretty well against Seattle. Actually, I mean, you take out the pick six, they allow 17 points. The defense did. They played well in Buffalo, but granted they lost those two games. So that kind of overshadowed it. But, you know, talking to Xavier McKinney after the game, he mentioned something you don't often hear defensive players say, but I think it's pretty honest and common when you're on a good defense. And he said, we talk as defensive players, I'm just paraphrasing, about beating the other team's defense, being better than the other team's defense. And I kind of asked him about, you know, the Jets defensive players, they like to talk about how good they think they are. And even heck, the coach likes to talk about it. And his point was, you know, talk all you want, we'll see how it goes in the field. Okay, it's fun little trash talk there to a degree. And there it is right there. The Giant defense talks about being better than the other team's defense, which is what I think this game will be. It'll be which team's defense is more dominant. And both of them, you know, the Jets are a great defense. The Giants are playing better. I don't think they're a great defense yet. And so, I think a big part of this will be DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner. Now they won a game without him. They looked really good against the Eagles, but is that sustainable? And, you know, you mentioned big plays in terms of what the Giants have given up against the run. But in terms of, you know, a big play guy for the Giants offense, of course, Jalin Hyatt has emerged as that in a small sample size. He played great against Arizona, great against Washington, not really much production in the other five games. But in those two games I just mentioned there, he had two catches in each game. And all four of those catches went for 30 plus yards, let alone 20 plus. The Giants were the worst passing team in the NFL essentially over the last 3 years in 20 plus yard passes. But he cracked off four 30 pluses, one of which, I mean, it would have sealed the game if Saquon Barkley hadn't lost that fumble. So, I think that's where this Giant offense is. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on if they can get Andrew Thomas back and Daniel Jones back. Most especially, I think Thomas, but Jones too. I think people are falling in love with Tyrod Taylor. I've always called him Tyrod, but I guess he goes by Tyrod now. They've had Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and Andrew Thomas in the field this year for one game, and that was week one when Thomas hurt his hamstring, so hasn't played since. So, that better pass protection, and it's not rocket science, is going to free up a guy like Hyatt to have more deep ball opportunities. They did a better job of pass protecting against Washington. A lot of that had to do with the fact that they were playing with the lead. I think for both these teams, it's situational, you know, like, if you can play with a lead and keep the other team off balance, that'll go a long way into being able to play to your strength, which for the Jets is basically not having Zach Wilson throw the ball a ton. So
funny you mentioned that too, Daryl, because that is a fascinating element about this game, is who is going to play with the lead. Because when you look at these two teams in the first quarter, my God, the Giants are being outscored 40-6. Okay. And the Jets, you think that's bad. The Jets are being outscored 44-5 in the first quarter.
Wow.
My God.
So, like, I mean, first of all, have a coffee before the game, I guess, and get ready for the first quarter, because there's no indication that either one of these teams will be ready for the first quarter. That's just brutal. The holes that these teams have put themselves in to start the game. So I think that's what you're saying is so key, because it's going to establish how these teams attack each other for the rest of the game. And if the Jets can get a lead and pass rush, it's going to be a long day for the Giants. You know, the Eagles have a great offensive line, and they were all over Jalen Hurts last, you know, before the bye. So I think that's a real key. And, you know, one of these teams you would think will break the trend and play well in the first quarter, or maybe they'll just both not score. But that's going to be something that's fascinating to watch. What do you think has been behind the Giants' struggles early in the game so far?
Yeah, I mean, they've been right. They've been being one dimensional because they haven't been able to play the lead. I mean, you talk about not just early in the game. They in their amid their 1-4 start, they led for 19 seconds, and that was at the end of that epic comeback win in Arizona, where they tied the biggest comeback in franchise history. And they 19 seconds in a 1-4 start the whole time. That's how much they led. Of course, the fact that they were able to stay in the game in Buffalo. I mean, they led 6-0 until 6 seconds into the fourth quarter. That let them kind of do more things defensively in terms of, whether Josh Allen and the Bills had to throw the ball to catch up, or the Giants could be less one dimensional and not have to throw the ball. They could protect the lead. But yeah, they just have been just terrible early in games, as you mentioned. And a lot of that just gets back to some of the personnel inconsistency they've had. This offensive line had a ton of questions coming into the year, even if everyone was healthy outside of Andrew Thomas, a ton of questions, and Evan Neal, a ton of questions, still a lot around Evan Neal. And then on top of it, all the injuries they've had on their offensive line. So that plays a huge part in it. And I think we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but that's fine. The one other Jet thing I wanted to ask you about was, and I think this is a huge matchup, and I wrote it for Monday coming out of the game, because pivoting immediately to the Jets Giants game is, how in the world is this Giants offensive line? Even if they get Andrew Thomas back, okay, that's a really good piece at left tackle, albeit a guy who hasn't played since September 10th was the opener. Still, even if they get John Michael Schmitz back, you're looking at questions again all across that offensive line. Andrew Thomas is their only sure thing guy. And will they be able to block this Jets front, I'm looking at PFF right now to look at their pass rush numbers. And I went through it in the story for Monday, but the pressures, Bryce Huff, a shocking, success story, 34 pressures, John Franklin Myers, 26, and Quinnen Williams, their big money guy, 25 pressures. You got Jermaine Johnson in there with 14, and Quentin Jefferson, who I don't know if a lot of Giant fans have ever heard of him, he's got 13 pressures. But their big three pressure guys, Huff, Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams. I mean, you just wonder, how in the world are the Giants going to block those guys, right? Because they just come at you in waves, the Jets did with their pass rushers in their front.
Yeah, none of those guys play more than an average of like 65% of the snaps. So that's, first of all, got him fresh. You got Huff is more of a pass rushing specialist, but he has got the fastest get off time in the league by far. And the only team that's really I've seen been effective against the Jets pass rush this year was Dallas, and I think Dak started 15 of 15 or 14 of 14, and it was just so much quick stuff, and then a little bit of success in the run game allowing them to set up play action for deep balls. But the way to beat this team is not deep, especially if Sauce and DJ Reed are playing, because they just, you've seen them fluster Buffalo and Josh Allen. They've owned him because they've basically taken digs out of the game deep, and they don't have that answer in the quick hit game, and that's the way you got to beat the Jets, is quick hit, maybe extend the play a little bit with play action. But the Jets do have some vulnerabilities. Now, Quincy Williams, Quinnen's older brother, actually, has gotten a lot better in coverage and has, made them a little bit more difficult to beat over the center of the field. But that's where they're vulnerable. Their safeties maybe don't play it at quite the same high level that the rest of their defense does. And C.J. Mosley is certainly not moving. He's still playing at an extremely high level. His anticipation, his ability to get guys in the right position, and he can make 90% of the plays right in front of him, but he's not going to be able to cover, a good slot receiver or running back if he's in the middle of the field. So I think that's how you got to beat the Jets, is in the middle of the field and with some of that quick stuff and at the line of scrimmage before the play. That's where it's going to be tough for Daniel Jones if he's coming back and having to shake off any rust from not playing for a couple weeks and dealing with a front that's going to make you make decisions very, very quickly, or you're going to get hit a lot. I mean, I think this front is right there with some of the best in football, and especially after what they were able to do without the coverage the last couple of games. They haven't had the coverage that they're accustomed to, and it didn't really matter that the defensive line was able to find a way to make a difference, and I think that makes them, you know, really dangerous and makes this defense, you know, even better. They have been vulnerable early in the game, but the way they're playing late in games, I think they have the potential to be even better than they were last year when they were a top five defense in the league.
And they did that against a historically great Eagles offensive line. And then in terms of Huff, just circling back on him, and he has a 78 pass rush grade this year. He was 88 pass rush grade last year. So last year he had 36 pressures and 173 pass rush snaps. This year he's 34 pressures and 114. What a really good undrafted free agent pickup in 2020 out of Memphis, you know, pretty quietly, right? I mean, in the COVID year, they get him as an undrafted rookie, and he's been with him ever since, and is just slowly, or really not slowly. I'm looking at his snap counts. I mean, he played 296 and 338 snaps in his first couple of years, has carved out certainly a role for himself, and is setting up, I guess he's a pending free agent, right? Because he was back on a restricted deal this year.
Restricted, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Yep. So they gave him the second round tender, which shows you what they think about him. And now he's in a position where he's going to be earning some money. So I think everything you said there is spot on. I mean, this Jets defensive front could really confuse the heck out of the Giants offensive line. And you mentioned the quick stuff over the middle. That's where I think Darren Waller could factor in, and that's another storyline out of this game. I know the Giants, you know, only scored two touchdowns in the game, and so, you know, you don't want to make too big of a deal necessarily of what their offense did, but Hyatt had, you know, production, and I wouldn't even say small doses because they were two big plays, two catches, but Waller has started to come on now. He had a touchdown, seven catches, 98 yards against Washington. He had that game in Buffalo where he almost had the game-winning catch. And that was a disappointment for him. But the game before that in Miami, 8 for 86. Before that, he really hadn't done anything in four games except for 6 for 76 against Arizona. So they need him clearly and to play well. In the games they've won, he's played well. And he's obviously their de facto, quote unquote, number one receiver. And so he can be a mismatch nightmare maybe for some of the guys who have some defenses that have soft coverage in the middle there. And I think that's certainly something to watch with how he's come along. The Giants obviously committed a ton to him. Third round pick, $24 million over this year and next year combined. So it's a big commitment for a player who's been injury prone, hasn't been productive, who just turned 31 in the middle of September this year. And like we said, hasn't really done much of anything, largely due to injuries, since 2020 with the Raiders. So maybe he's turning the corner a little bit here in terms of, like, and you just look at like yards per game, because you can't really compare total yards, but like 71 and 74 yards per game in 2019 and 2020 with the Raiders. Right now he's at 54, which is still less than what he had in 2021, which is 60. So let's see if he can get that up, and he can be a big bodied red zone threat for a team that needs to obviously score more touchdowns. There's no doubt about that. But the Huff point kind of like leads me into and what they were able to get out of him for an undrafted guy. And just like a broader thing we're writing for this week about where do these teams like compare in terms of their rebuilding process right now, and like, who's got a brighter future? So we can kind of pivot to that here. And as we said, the Giants and Jets tied for the NFL's worst record from 17 to 21, and their record was 22 and 59 combined. Of course, the Giants last year would go 9-7-1. They make the playoffs. This year, they're 2-5. So that's 11-12-1 since the start of last year under Brian Daboll in the regular season. The Jets 7-10 last year, and this year 3-3. So that's what, 10-13, right? So the records are kind of close over the last couple of years after being identical from 2017 to 2021. I guess what's your take on the areas? I mean, we can set aside the areas where they're probably similar. I think we agree that their lines are still kind of a work in progress, but I know the Rodgers factor is an interesting one because it's almost like the Jets are not even rebuilding anymore because they're not even almost. They're a win now team because of him, especially the window being compressed now more by his injury. But what do you make of how where the Jets are maybe compared to the Giants in their rebuild in terms of where they're maybe ahead or behind or whatever?
Yeah, I think in the short term, the Jets are clearly the team that has the chance to make some noise. And I mean, because they have no other choice. I mean, you got Rodgers, assume he can get back to somewhere near 100% next year. And then you have the reigning 2022 offensive and defensive rookies of the year and Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, you know, heading into the third year of their contracts next year. You know, so they will be eligible for an extension, but you would think that won't come until 2025. And I think really next year is a huge year. The Jets have to make, you know, they have to make progress this year. And I don't know exactly what that looks like. It will look like not, you know, finishing 0-6 when you have a playoff spot on the line. I'd say even without Rodgers, you can show that progress this year. And then next year is kind of the year or the year after, then they'll have to, you know, even with franchise tags and stuff, they'll be paying for Rodgers. I know the cap goes up, but they're going to be paying for Rodgers after he's gone. They have to figure out finding a quarterback there. And so I think, you know, the realistic window for them really is 2024 and 2025, and they're set up quite well to win in that window because DJ Reed's under contract next year. And he's been another young key piece. You know, you'll still have Sauce and Garrett at you know, good salaries. You may be losing Zach Wilson's contract off the books after next season, depending on what they do with him. I don't think he'll be around personally, so he'll have some money to spend. And it's really going to come down for the Jets. I think they have everything in place but the offensive line. And that's going to be really key for them this offseason. Now, what it looks like beyond then, I think they have tough decisions to make and you'll find out, you know, where their priorities are. They're not going to be able to hold on to Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson. So they're going to have some choices to make. But I think for the next 2 years, they have a real chance to be a contender, and they've got it set up well. I think beyond that, the Giants are maybe, you know, you'll talk about it, but they have, you know, a more manageable commitment to their quarterback, and you know, more flexibility moving forward and some nice young pieces that I think they can build around. But I think right now it really does lean the Jets' way. And I think they do have a chance. They have the talent to, you know, contend and be anything that they want to be. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to talk about a Super Bowl, but this is how it happens. You know, when you have this much young talent in place. So I don't think there's any cap on their you know, capabilities over the next couple of years, but I do think there's going to be a cost to be paid for not playing this year with Rodgers. And if he is back close to 100% next year, there's going to be some growing pains that they have to go through next year that they would have preferred to get out of the way this year with Rodgers. And I think you also at that point start running the risk of, is Rodgers going to be the same Rodgers, because it will have been, you know, a while since he's played, even if he comes back at the end of this year. So that's the big question is it sure seems like the roster outside of the offensive line is going to be ready for the Jets to make a push here, especially next year, but will they have what they need from the line and the quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, so we don't even like this year was supposed to be the year where like, could Rodgers rebound off a tough year last year, which obviously part of that was because of the thumb injury he sustained in London when O'Shane Zimenez had him. But now it's like, okay, well, he didn't even play this year. He's older. He's coming off the torn Achilles. And his last season that he played, we saw he wasn't super productive again, partly because of the injury to his hand. So, yeah, there's going to be, like, a lot of it, obviously, no duh, like, hinges on Rodgers. But I think, you know, I said it from the very beginning when they traded for him. If they do not at least make a Super Bowl with this guy, I think it's a failure. Because why else are you doing it? Like, why? That's the whole point here. I mean, and you know, we talk about the pain, the cap pain they're going to have to absorb when he's gone. Like, no one, the Jet fan would like sell their soul to the devil right now to like make or win a Super Bowl. They've gotten to the doorstep of it in 2009, 2010. So to me, it's like you got to take that next step. And they would to go all in. I think Jets fans are fine with it because they just want to win the freaking Super Bowl or at least make it, right? So they're okay with paying the price down the road. You talk about Rodgers and having taken the pay cut. His cap number this year is $8 million, 8.8. Next year, 17.1. 2025 is 23.5. So like pretty darn low. It goes to $63 million in 2026. But again, they don't. Who cares if they win a Super Bowl? Who cares? Like, I mean, if they win the Super Bowl at some point next year, the year after, the Jets could go 0-16 or 0-17, 2026. Their fans would not care. Like, I'm like, yeah, I mean, they'd be disappointed, but that's overstating it. But you mentioned that where the Giants are in terms of their commitment to Daniel Jones, and this is a 2-year, $82 million contract. We said it a million times. His cap number next year is 47.1. This year it's 15.4. So they need to figure out by the end of next year if he's their guy. Otherwise, they're not keeping around him around in 2025 at a 41.6 number when they could save, you know, about 19.3 of that by cutting him. Now, a $22 million dead hit is not ideal, but when you're drafting a quarterback, these rookie contracts are so manageable anyway. But yeah, I think that in terms of like where the Giants are compared to the Jets, like obviously they have less of a sure thing per se at quarterback. But this is where they're at. This is the guy they have, and they need to figure out how to build around him and try to win in the next 2 years or just cut bait, which is why they need to get him back in the field, obviously. So the line we mentioned, both teams suspect. I think in terms of the skill guys, the Giants still – now, they don't have a long-term answer with Waller, I don't think. I think it was a good acquisition for a team that needed a playmaker. But they need to get, obviously, some more receivers. And so if they draft high, you wonder, Marvin Harrison Jr., a guy they could look at. Obviously, they feel good about Hyatt, but it's not like Slayton's a long-term answer or Isaiah Hodgins. So they probably – I'm sure they like Wandale Robinson, but durability is going to be a question for him because of his size. Like, in defensively, they're surely going to let Adoree Jackson and Leonard Williams walk. And Saquon Barkley, you know, I don't think he's around next year. They'll probably draft a running back or something like that and go more cost effective and smarter route there. But defensively, they have a centerpiece in Dexter Lawrence, and they hope that that Deontay Banks could be the centerpiece for their secondary. Bobby Okereke, really good young free agent signing. But they certainly have some pieces to figure out there, like who else is going to be a mainstay in their secondary. Can Trey Hawkins be that guy? Sixth-round pick. He's impressed in camp, but he's sputtered, no surprise, to start this year. So who can Kayvon Thibodeau take the next step as your edge rusher? And I kind of glossed over Neal. I mean, but when you whiff on the seventh overall pick, as it looked like they've done, geez, I mean, that sets you back. So they need more from Thibodeau. They need something, anything at all from Neal. So that's where they are. I think, yes, I agree. The Jets are in better position right now. But they're, you know, the Rodgers thing makes it so interesting. And so, yeah, look, I mean,
I think also, just real quick, I think also they need to realize the situation they're in and take a cue from the Eagles, who are making all these win now moves. The Jets have not done that, and they need to do that. And, you know, not to go, I know this is a Giants podcast, so I'm not gonna go crazy on it, but that's another thing I think that when you were talking earlier that just hit me. It's like they need to realize the situation they're in, and it doesn't matter 3 years from now. It matters right now, and they need to be more aggressive. Joe Douglas, who was in that Philly system, needs to be more aggressive, like his counterpart, the man with the funny yearbook photos, Howie Roseman, that you unearthed during the Super Bowl.
Jersey's own Howie Roseman, you know, making another trade this week for Kevin Byard. Yeah, so I think it goes a couple ways. I mean, like, when you have a quarterback on his rookie contract, or I should say either the other way, right? Like, when you're paying a quarterback, like the Jets are paying Aaron Rodgers, and the Giants are paying Daniel Jones, it helps to have guys like the other players on their rookie contracts. Like the fact that Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson are performing way above their contracts because they're on these affordable rookie deals is hugely important. So you have to take advantage of that and maybe take big swings elsewhere in terms of taking on big numbers. And, you know, especially with Rodgers having taken a pay cut. I mean, look, let's be honest, like Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, probably not the right moves there now that they paid a lot of money for Cobb. But yeah, I think a couple big swings could serve the Jets well. We'll see where the Giants go. But in turn, we'll wrap this up by giving a pick for this week. I sent mine in, so I'll go with what I had there. What do you think?
Yeah, I just can't trust the Jets. Anytime they come to a game that's been big like this, they haven't delivered. And a game, I mean, it would just serve them so well to win this game, you know, in the short term and the long term, in terms of, you know, getting past the games they have later in November against their division rivals. If they can bank some wins here in these winnable games, it would be huge for them. It just feels too familiar with this sense that they've accomplished something at 3-3, even more so than last year when they were 6-3. And I do give them credit for the fortitude they've shown and the resilience they've shown since losing Rodgers. But, you know, I just need to believe it or see it before I can believe them backing it up. So I think the Giants are going to find a way to win a really sloppy game. I think like 13-12 or 14-13, something like that. I'll pick the Giants to win in a really close, you know, kind of, like you said, one of those games where the defense is going to win it for them.
I jokingly picked 5-2 in our group chat text the other day. but yeah, I agree. Low scoring game. I got the Jets winning 17-14. I could certainly see it going either way. I don't think either. I'd be surprised if both teams crack 20. We're making these picks, of course, without knowing who's going to be the quarterback for the Giants, without knowing whether Andrew Thomas coming back. Oh, it looks like he will. And then ditto for Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, though it looks like they'll come back. But obviously, for as in love as everyone has been here with Tyrod Taylor, let's be honest, it's not a big sample size. And the quarterback, you know, it's going to matter if Daniel Jones is back. So, but I right now, 17-14. Jets over the Giants, and the Giants probably moving into a position where they're going to be sellers moving further into the position at the trade deadline. And then it becomes the report came out, was leaked before the game on Sunday that they don't intend to trade Saquon Barkley. Okay. You know, that's it. The plans change, you know, if they can get something for him. And a lot of it depends on, you know, if there's a desperate team elsewhere. Like Christian McCaffrey breaks his leg. The Niners are picking up the phone and offering, you know, third round pick or whatever the Giants would love to have. So anyway, but that's where they stand. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So, yeah. So we'll see. We'll be sure everybody to read our coverage throughout the week, nj.com/Giants, as usual, nj.com/Jets for Andy's coverage of the Jets, all things Jets this week. And of course, going forward, he does a great job for us. And obviously, as always, be sure to rate, review, like, subscribe to us on all your favorite podcasting platforms and all that good stuff. And everyone, enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the game Sunday if you're going. It's supposed to be a really nice day, maybe the last nice Sunday of the year where it's not windy and cold and gross out there, but it's going to be a good one. Should be an interesting game, and we will be back here with you. Bob will be back next week to wrap up Jets Giants. Thanks again to Andy for joining us, and everybody have a great week and take care.